Women have been gathering in circles for centuries, even in the most suppressive communities, to find physical and emotional shelter, lift each other, and share the powerful feminine energy. In this podcast, we are going to rediscover what happens when women come together, bringing in their authentic, creative, nurturing selves. In other words, this podcast is dedicated to the magical places, also known as women's circles. Hello, beautiful friends and strangers, and welcome to the very first episode of Women Circle Institute podcast. My name is Anna.
And my name is Marta.
And we are Women Circle facilitators, Women Circle Institute founding mothers, and your humble hosts in this podcast. So that's very brief introduction about ourselves. Should I add something more, Marta?
Yes, I think it's super important, like vital to mention, we are best friends.
Yes, that is a vital thing. However, it's not really vital to reveal the age of our friendship, because then people will know how old we are. But we are ancient. We are ancient friends, yes.
Yes, and I, you know what? I'm actually not in any way ashamed of my age, you know? I actually realized that I am completely fine with maturing.
Okay, I'm 42.
Ta-da! You're 42, you have revealed. Now I'm thinking very, very hard. Am I already 42 or am I turning 42? No. So this is where it gets tricky, because I actually thought I was 42, but then when you mentioned you were 42, that means I'm still 41, because my birthday
has not come yet.
This. Mm-hmm. But that really means I am fine with my age if I stopped counting, right?
Yes, or your brain is slowly succumbing into the darkness of of losing basic mathematical skills. Yes,
I've never had them, so you cannot lose what you have never had.
Yeah. Okay. You had creative mathematical skills, Marta. You have
that
creative
one.
That
is also true.
That's correct. But so as you can hear, we are indeed best friends. We know each other for years, I think. Okay, mathematical skills are back.
25 plus. I think we can
25
go by.
Plus, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is more than average mileage of a marriage. So yes, we made it, Marta. Maybe we should actually have a celebration, like a, you know, golden wedding or silver wedding or, yeah.
That's such a good idea.
Well, thank you. Not sure how interesting it is for our listeners, but at least you have a very authentic conversation. And to actually maybe come back to this, this is going to be a very authentic podcast, right? We are going to be authentic, vulnerable, and showing the real essence of ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah, and we really hope that we can invite you in. We really, really hope that we can create a podcast where you feel a part of it. And we hope you, dear listener, you will feel like writing us sometime, maybe asking some questions, and otherwise being present with us in spirit.
Yes, in spirit and through the headphones or wherever you listen to your podcast. But yeah, maybe it's a good idea to also mention that this is not our first podcast. It's actually our third podcast. We had back in the day a show called You've Got Five Options. And then we also had a show called Small Business Rising. And I call it a show because we started as podcasters. But then, believe it or not, we were picked up by the radio. And then we were recording in the radio station, which was an experience, because we were talking about this before. The first time they sat us in front of the mics, they said, you have 30 minutes time slot. There is a, you know, audio engineer here, and you just go, you record, and yeah, whatever you record goes on air. And the first 20 episodes we have done by that point were heavily edited by Marta, who was very, very keen on the audio quality and on making a very pristine and very polished version. And then we were like, okay, you will have a pristine audio, but if you say something, whatever that would be, stupid, or if you will do yeah, it's going live. It didn't go live because we were pre-recording. But then we also had live shows, which was even better because there was no stop. Like, if you were sitting there, you were live on air. People could hear you on the radios. Yeah, that was at the beginning a hardcore. But it taught us one thing that, you know, you just have to go for it. You have to embrace your imperfections. And I think relatively fast we let it go and we just went with it. So that's how we were trained. And that's how this podcast is going to sound for you. There are going to be hiccups, verbal hiccups, sound hiccups, interesting
hiccups.
Yeah, all kind of hiccups. And we are not going to cut it out. So that's why, again, it is going to be very authentic experience. So this is going to be closer to the radio program rather than the podcast. For example, back in the day when we had a live show at the radio station, someone started to vacuum clean and it was live on air. People could hear the vacuum cleaning. For example, now, Marta, I can hear a bird singing on your side. And I think it's very, yeah. And it's going to be like this. So for those of you who are used to a very clean podcast, this could be an experience. And maybe you will be put off by this at the beginning, but at least you will get the real experience. If that was a radio, this is what you would get. And who knows? Maybe in the future it's going to be a radio.
Yeah, and I hope that the bird singing is all right. I would assume it's better than the vacuum cleaner.
It's better than the vacuum cleaner. It's better than, I don't know, someone cutting the grass. Bird is actually quite nice. We could actually let it slide and say, this is our like a background noise that we have implemented here. But yeah, we are going to be honest with you as well. We will never live, at least not on purpose. Right, Marta?
Yeah, really. So I'm really happy we are doing this. And you probably cannot tell that we have done it for a while on the radio. However, you know, we are coming back to it after a few years break. So it has been a bit of a break. And now we are happy we are starting an amazing adventure together again. We are setting up Women's Circles. We are co-founding Women's Circle Institute. And we deeply, deeply believe in the value of women coming together to lift each other up, create that, co-create that amazing sacred space. And we want to share it with you. We want to share it with you, whether you want to be a participant of a women's circle, whether you want to be a facilitator of a women's circle, or maybe you're perhaps curious what a women's circle is. And we want to share our journey with you.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. So that's actually what this podcast is meant to do, is supposed to encourage you or inspire you to dive into the magical world of a women's circles. And as you mentioned, Marta, actually, even if you are not convinced if women's circle is a thing for you, you can also just tag along on this journey and listen to the things that we are talking about, because there will be a part when we will talk a bit practically about setting up a women's circle. There will be some parts when we will talk more about the exercises, rituals, resources, and all kind of, you know, elements you can build the circle from. And then we will also talk about our own personal experience with the circles. And here I will mention again, and I will not use the word that cannot be said out loud, because I called Marta guru before and she was like, no. So, okay, Marta is not guru, but Marta is a kind of a senior facilitator. you have quite some experience, and I am a beginner. I just set up a women's circle in my village literally in April, and now we have May. So I had only two gatherings, and I was co-facilitating them with Marta because she came to hold my hand. I am at the very beginning of this journey, so you will be able to hear from a person that is just starting, which can be valuable for you if you are also a woman who is considering setting up a circle in your city, in your town, in your village, but you maybe think that you are not a material for it, or you have a lot of doubts. Here, I am here. I have a lot of doubts, and I'm doing it. So let's do it together, and you can get that perspective from me. And Marta, you will probably have a little bit more of a different takes on it because you are a pro. Is pro better than guru?
You know what? I have been reflecting on it yesterday. Yesterday, Anna and I, we had a circle online. It was mm-hmm. the first time we had the circle. And literally, as I was doing a guided moment, I got so much into the zone that I have not noticed that I froze on the screen and my computer failed. And I was so much into this moment of guiding, like a breath work, that I haven't even noticed that I was not facilitating anymore. So I was thinking about it yesterday. Okay, I realized I called in from my phone while my computer was restarting, and it did not throw me off. I was so okay with, a fuck up happened. It's definitely not ideal to have your first circle online and to have your computer failing. Like, my computer has not even once failed. It was literally the first time my computer failed me in any way. And I was completely fine. I just came back to it and continued with the breathing exercise. For me, the circles are the space where I feel so naturally grounded and at so much ease that even like these really big screw ups, they don't throw me off. They don't cause these, which would, I'm sure I would be affected in other circumstances. So you will have a very interesting mix here of someone for whom this is like the most grounding, easy and wonderful space, and someone who is new to it, stepping into it and learning about it. So I think that's an amazing opportunity to have these two different perspectives and learn from both of us, because the learning comes just as much from someone that is experienced and calm and grounded in it as from someone who is taking it as an adventure and, you know, like really in the steep learning curve. Because I want to say that I'm totally on the learning curve here. I am very open to learning and developing and growing. It's just, I think, a different time of learning, like the steep learning curve for Anna starting it now the first time, and for me, after facilitating several different types of circles for several years, it's a different kind of learning, which is beautiful, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that. I would like to confirm I was on that online circle and Marta indeed froze. And I thought first that it's my internet connection. So I was just trying to turn my camera off and figure out if I should log in. And then I started to see people writing on chat, Marta, Marta. And then you actually froze in a very like a spiritual moment when you had your eyes closed. And I think I made a screenshot because it was you were there for 3 minutes frozen. But at least you looked beautiful and very enlightened. So maybe that is going to help you. But that's actually the thing, that you can do a fuck up like this. And by the way, this is an R-rated episode, and I think the whole podcast is going to be. And the purpose of a circle, actually, that the whole essence is that this is a safe space. So actually, it's okay to fuck up, even as a facilitator. And that's something that's really, really valuable for me, because you are right. In any other circumstances, you know, we get stressed, be it at work or any other type of a meeting, you freeze, you are the facilitator. It just was like, yeah, Flora, your co-creator of a circle in Aarhus, she just pick up the conversation, said, okay, Marta will log in a moment. And there was, you know, nothing strange, nothing weird. And we actually had very new people. And maybe this is a very good place to plug our monthly online women's circles. So as I mentioned, I do facilitate one in person in a village where I live. Marta co-facilitates one in Aarhus, in a big city of Denmark. By the way, we are in Denmark, yeah, in a big city of Denmark. And then we also have the option for women who either would like to try to join a circle, to have like an experience of what it would be to be in a circle. We have an option to sign up for a free, non-binding, 1 hour long circle every month. And you can find it on our website, womenscircleinstitute.com. There will be a link in the description of this episode. And yeah, so that was the first one we were having there. And there were three completely new people, at least I knew one person, but she was new to the circle. And there were two ladies I never met or knew. So it wasn't even that this is like, you know, a bunch of great friends that met for a circle. It was actually a circle with new people. And it still kind of didn't really destroy the flow or anything of this kind. So good job, Marta, and good job at freezing in the perfect moment. Because sometimes you freeze with your mouth open or something. No, it was beautiful. So good job. Yeah. It was divine intervention.
Yeah. And yeah, that is the great thing of co-creating women's circles. So when you have friends like Anna or Flora who can just pick it up, who can take the space when something happens, they will have your back. So that is one of the things that we definitely recommend for women's circles, to do it together, to co-create that space if possible. It's not a requirement. You can do it alone as well as a facilitator. However, it's really nice to have someone that can have your back in case something happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that now we can actually go to the essence of today's episode, which yesterday convinced me that this is the right episode to start with. We had a one woman on the online circle that is very interested in starting a women's circle where she lives. And we also create a space after the circle when women can ask questions, more practical questions. And she was asking for an advice, how would I start a circle? And we were like, well, believe it or not, we are recording podcast about this. So today's episode is called Women's Circle for Beginners. And we have prepared, or I have prepared, 10 questions that at least I usually hear from women or from people about women's circles. So what is a women's circle? How to start? Who to invite? And so on. And we will go through those questions and try to answer them with our quote-unquote academical knowledge about circles, which is non-existent because it's very intuitive. And we will also give our own kind of perspective and, a sneak peek into our experience. So hopefully after this episode, you will be more confident to consider starting your own circle or trying to find a circle in your vicinity and basically join, because it's amazing. So Marta, are we ready to start? Marta is not ready to start.
I was thinking, like, I thought we started like 20 minutes ago, but fine. Yes, let's start the actual essence of this episode. Yes.
Yes, yes, let's do it. Let's do it. So the first very basic maybe for some people not necessary, but for some others actually crucial question is, what is a women's circle? Except of it's a circle that is made out of women. What is the soul, the definition, call it however you want, of a women's circle? Back so to you, Marta.
For me personally, a women's circle is a get together of women who intentionally gather in a circle, may it be a physical circle or a virtual circle. However, the intention of gathering in a circle is there, and that's what's prevalent to the definition of the women's circle. Women gathering together with the intention to lift each other, to support each other, and to do some, you can call it work together or some activity together. And for me, it's a sacred space. It's an intentionally created space where women are equal to each other. The circle itself, the way of sitting in a circle where we are all equal and you are all co-creating that space. Everyone is as important in that space, and there is space for everyone to be present and to be themselves. So that is what a women's circle is for me.
That's a very, very beautiful definition. I will ask a technical question. Do we need to sit in a circle?
So for me, sitting in a circle is a symbol, right? It's a ritual. It's part of the ritual. It's part of what makes it special. So if it is a physical get together, I would definitely encourage sitting in a circle. It just has this powerful, meaningful, supporting role, because everyone is seeing each other in the same way. So you're facing each other. The circle has this magical quality to it that everyone sees each other in the same way. However, obviously, if you're doing it online, you're not actually sitting in a circle. However, you can see each other in the same way if you put a gallery view into it. So for me, that has a meaning. Sitting in a circle has a meaning. And really creates that co-creation and equality to it.
Mm-hmm. I would like to add, and that actually is getting a bit into the territory of the second question, but I would also add that in a circles that at least we are co-creating, there is this wonderful rule that you participate in things or in rituals or in sharing whenever you are ready. And that is for me a definition of a safe place. When you come to the circle, you are not being forced to share, or you are not forced to do this or that. If you don't feel that this resonates with you, or maybe you are not in an energetical mood to do something, it's okay to actually sit out some of the things and just be there, be present. And I think this is a fantastic thing, because I personally, my biggest hesitance about joining the circle was that, you know, this is some kind of like synchronized meetup with agenda from 3 o'clock to 3:15, everyone is sharing this, then everyone has to do this. And I truly feel anxious when I have to go to that kind of very organized places where I'm expected to participate in everything, even if I don't want to. So for me, that safetiness of the circle is so important. I'm aware that not every circle necessarily looks like this. So now we are giving you a bit of a insight into our circles, but I absolutely love that. And then women just open up whenever they feel like, and then it comes out as more authentic. It's not something that is forced upon you, that you have to come up with something to share. If you don't have anything to share, you just don't. So then I think it's going to be a swift and elegant detour into the question number two, which is what kind of women's circles are out there and what circles do we facilitate at the moment? And that question came to my mind because I was asked several times, okay, what kind of circle is that? Is this a networking one? Is it for entrepreneurial women? Is it this or that? And I realized that there is actually a lot of women's circles out there, which only means that this is something that is in a consciousness of people, because suddenly you hear about different women's circles. It is a, I hate to say it, trendy topic at the moment. And I have an experience, or I heard about several ones. So, for example, there are networking circles where it's, you actually can stand or talk in a circle and you just network. Marta will have her own take on that, by the way, I think. There are circles or meetups for women who are entrepreneurs, who are having their own businesses, like a support circle for that specific part of your life. I also heard about witch circles or moon circles. There are circles where women are meeting either in the new moon or a full moon or both, and they do intention exercises together for the new moon, or they do a release and let go rituals on the full moon. And of course, if you do it in a group, it is amplified energy. So I think maybe in the future I will even look into that, because I really like the whole concept of the lunar cycles. And we also have something a bit different within the institute that it's now brewing in our Witches Cauldrons, which is a women's circle in companies. But I think, Marta, I will give the mic back to you so you can explain it, because you have more more experience with that. And then we have the circles that we do, which we would call spiritual, right?
I call it consciousness. Some better. People can better. Call it spiritual. I think, well, first of all, this is, I really like to say, this is an unregulated industry. No, I'm joking. That means that, you know, the women that get together, it's basically this form of a social agreement. You know, if you feel it's a circle for you, it is a circle. That's what defines it, right? It's the intention. It's the agreement of women who gather together that creates it a circle. So if you feel you are in a circle, then you are in a circle. And for me, I have been a part of many different types of circles, and I have learned from several different amazing women from the way they have facilitated those circles. So that was a fantastic experience to join different types of circles. And then it came very, very easy to me to start the first circles myself as a facilitator. I would say that the first circle I facilitated fully from ground up, building it from ground up, that was in 2020. And that was a circle for, the circle for people who work in the area of consciousness. And we were supporting each other through these difficult times of pandemic. And that was amazing experience. I've learned a lot in that circle. And then I started co-creating circles together with an amazing yoga teacher, Flora, in Aarhus. So this is a circle where we connect yoga practice with mindfulness, with consciousness, with sharing. It's an in-person, these are in-person circles here in Aarhus. And every time it looks slightly different. We invite other co-facilitators. So we've been inviting, for example, Anna to be a part of it and do astrology part on the circle. We've invited Penny, who is an amazing, I don't even know what to call it, musician. She sings beautifully. She writes. She makes her own music to sing together in a circle. That's a really beautiful way, even if you're not great at singing. So it can look different every time when we do those circles here in Aarhus. And in January, I started creating or started facilitating circles in the company I work for. And I started two circles. One of them is online and one of them is in person. And they are called Women of Wind Empowerment Circles. I work in wind industry. And we're really caring about women and want to empower women. So I started those two circles, and they are really amazing, both of them. And I personally had a preference of circles in person. I thought that there is something magical in women actually sitting together in a circle, especially on the ground. And here I was in this corporate office, bringing women together. We do not sit on the ground. We sit in very comfortable, chairs. And then I started the one online, and to my surprise, the online circle works amazing. I guess we are used to seeing each other online, and also it gives the fantastic opportunity for women from different countries to gather at the same time in an online circle. So surprisingly, the online circle is really, really great, works really well. And there are definitely adjusted, slightly different ways of facilitating a circle online. You may need to moderate a little bit more in terms of in a physical circle. It's easier for everyone to speak up when they are ready. In an online circle, you might ask people to speak up a little bit more because it's not as easy not to jump into each other's words. And so it might need a little bit more of moderation. However, it works really, really well.
And that's how you answered the question number three, which is online or in person. And as you can see, Marta just is a walking, living proof that both options can work. I think, you know, when you were talking, I got the same feeling now that by instinct, I would prefer the in-person one. It's just, I don't know if it's a matter of, feeling the energy actually in a room, because that's a real thing that can happen. But yesterday, our online circle was also really nice. And you are absolutely right. This gives an opportunity for women from different locations to join together. Because if you do the in-person circle, then you, of course, will probably have a reach of 50 to 100 kilometers, depending how much willingness is there for women to join. And if they can actually afford to drive somewhere. I have my circle in a village, so we just walk because it's a village, but there can be women who can, you know, come from a different city to a circle, and then you actually have to make a time investment. With online circle, I think the great thing is that if you do have basic moderation skills, you can gather women who are not only in different locations or even countries, but you can also gather women who might have a problem with simply getting somewhere because maybe they are a mom of a newborn or they are single mom. So that opens up opportunity for being more inclusive and actually give a chance for a woman that cannot be somewhere physically to also have this experience. So I guess we can recommend both depending on your situation and your life circumstances and your conditions. So both can work, definitely. And then if we will actually, Marta, circle back, wow, circle back to the in-person circle. Now when I said the whole sentence, I can hear how it sounds, and it was not good. Okay, so in-person circles. Let's say that you would like to try to create an in-person circle. Where do you do it? At home? In nature? Neutral or rental place? That is the fourth question in today's episode, and it's a question that is very dear to my heart, because believe it or not, that was the main thing I had to solve for myself and for the circle I was co-creating before it started. I actually had a list of participants, kind of the potential women that could join, that already showed interest. But I was spent probably the most of my time of figuring out where to do the circle. And now I live in a village, so we don't have a lot of rental places, and it's not like, you know, I can just choose and rent something. We do have a beautiful place in my village. It's actually a palace that is being renovated now by one of my neighbors. And it has one of the buildings that have this very raw and rustic and atmospheric feel to it, but it's in a very raw condition. It has brown bricks inside, so it kind of gives you this sense of this is a special place, but it's not heated. And my first circle was happening at the beginning of April, where this year we had winter in April still. So it was really cold. There is no heating there. So I agreed with that neighbor that when it's warmer, we can use it. But I was like, okay, so what am I going to do now? Of course, you can always do it in nature, but it was cold. It was at that point 6 to 7 degrees. And I wanted the first circle to be a nice experience. Although exactly on a day of a circle, it was really sunny. So I decided to do it at home. And I was quite hesitant about this idea, because this means that if you live with some people, if you have family or if you live with friends, you probably have to ask them to at least keep quiet, or preferably if you have small children, you have to ask your partner or someone to take care of your kid, because, you know, it will not be the circle that you want. That's number one. Number two, I have animals home. I have 3 cats. And my cats decided to participate in the circle, which, thank God, was not a deal breaker for the participants. Everyone actually kind of like found it either enjoyable or funny. But you might have participants that are, it can be even that they are allergic to animals, which is also good to check before you will decide to do it at your place. And I was like, okay, I will ask my partner to take our little one. I will do it at home. And it went quite nice. I think it was quite great. But for me as a facilitator, because I have an experience of being part of Aarhus Circle, and Marta will tell you a little bit more about how they do it, there is a kind of like an extra layer in your energy because you are at home. You cannot fully... You are, first of all, you are facilitator, so there is a certain responsibility on you to create the space, but you can still, you know, enjoy the circle and take the full benefit. However, when you are at home, you are at home. I cannot really explain it. When I'm going to the circle that is in a different neutral place, it's a bit of a different feeling. I feel more a part of a group. Here I'm at home. It's something is distorted. But all the participants that came, all the women that came, they actually truly enjoyed being at my place. So for them, it was really nice. And the next circle, because the weather was still not great, we actually had snow on 26th of April. The second circle was also at my place, but this time half of it was in a garden because the weather was relatively okay to sit for a bit, and then we moved back home. So if you live in a small place like a village, or if you don't have a rental options around you, it is totally possible and actually quite nice to create a circle at your place. The only thing you have to be aware of is everything I just said. But if you live in a bigger city or a town and you have a neutral place, then you can go for rental. Or if the weather is nice, you can go for nature. And I think, Marta, you will be able to say a little bit more about that because you do the rental, right?
Yes. So I have tried, I have done both. So I have done the circles at home. I have done circles in a rented space. I have participated in the circles in nature. And I believe that there is, well, first of all, the most important thing to say is that space matters. So the space in which you create the circle really, really matters. So I agree with you, Anna, with Flora and two other women, Rachel and Hannah, with whom we initially started the idea of the circles in Aarhus. We did spend some time on where. So where the space, and it does matter. So we did spend some time evaluating it. I do admit that having an amazing space there for you, where it's not your own space, you don't have to clear it, clean it, prepare it, ask family members to leave. It is easier. The circles that I have been doing at home, we were co-creating it in a way that we were shifting between the participants. So it was not every time on the same person to create the space. That was nice. There is something very beautiful and opening when you invite people to your own space. It definitely has a great quality to it and is very special. So I love doing that as well. And I do agree that if you are both a facilitator and it's your own space, it's just a double responsibility. It is more pressure, I would say, on you. So depending how you can cope with that pressure, it is something to simply take under consideration. And then circles in nature are amazing. The circles I have participated in beautiful weather, sitting on the ground, you know, sitting on earth under a huge tree, was amazing. Circles around the fire. So if the weather is not that great yet, I was in an amazing women's circle in Sweden in, I don't remember if it was like October or November. It was cold, but we were sitting around fire. That was amazing. So yeah, I really, really do believe that all of them have something very special to offer. So depending, do you have access to a rental space that is already a great space where it will be not very expensive, accessible, easy for people to get to? So for example, we choose a central location. It's a Buddhist center, which means that energy there is always really, really nice and grounding. And it's ready there for us. It has a kitchen, so if we want to make a chai or tea or cacao, whatever that is, it's easy to do it there. So the space is there, amazing. Like, it's just like, it's here, it's easy, we just do it. And there are, the frame is easier. You know, you rent a space, so you know exactly from when to when you have it. So that creates that clarity. Now the circle is over, which may be a little bit more challenging at home. Can also be inviting to more of a social activity afterwards. So there's always, every stick has two ends. It's always some pros and cons. So depending on what's accessible for you, depending on your personal space at home and who do you live with, or how good you feel in nature and what sort of weather you live in and how unpredictable that is, There is some things to take under consideration. We hope that this did not confuse you more, but that it has brought some clarity on what to take under consideration.
Yeah, I don't think confusion is the right word, but we are answering our questions with a tendency of everything is actually okay. Like any route you take, it's gonna be fine. But we do give pros and cons. So there is a last thing that came to my mind in connection to the circles at your place, and we will probably dig into the number of participants later in other questions. But if you, of course, have a larger group, like let's say more than 10 people, you simply may not have a comfortable space at your home or in your apartment where 10 women can sit in a circle, you know. So I had the number of participants in the first two circles I have were, I think, 8 and 7. So that was doable. But if you have a larger group, and I think in Aarhus you did have like 12 people once, 12 women, if I'm counting correctly, although I was not really counting, Marta. But probably it went to 12, right?
Yeah, we have agreed that that would be our maximum.
Yeah,
yeah. As you say, we will talk about the number later. And yes, we've had some more participants where it would be difficult to have at home. Depending, yeah. I mean, if you have a, you know, huge villa with a big living room, maybe it is still possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is, but be mindful that then the circle is bigger, and the space can be, space at home can be limited for that. So, to sum up, I guess we would lean towards nature first, and rental, of course, because that's like a bulletproof regarding the weather. But home is also possible, and home is also a great solution. And this shouldn't stop you if the weather is bad and you don't have a rental. It shouldn't stop you to try to do it at home. So, Marta, we are now hitting question number 5, and we are here a bit earlier than I assumed. So either we are giving very crisp answers or we learned not to talk too much. I don't know which one it is. We will re-listen it, so then we will see. And the question number 5 is, taking in consideration that this is not a regulated industry, do you need a certificate or any type of training to actually become a Women's Circle facilitator?
Yeah, I love this question, and I love how we call it unregulated industry, and referring to it like, you can have the on-the-job training if you join a circle. It's a fun way of thinking about it. So, so from my perspective, you of course don't need any form of certification in order to start and facilitate a circle. It is useful to have some experience. So facilitating experience can be gained in many different ways. So you don't necessarily have to circle facilitation experience. You may have been facilitating other types of get-togethers that give you a good ground for facilitation. From my perspective, it is very, very helpful to join a few different types of circles to simply see how it can be done, to see what happens in a circle, and get inspired, because every single one of facilitators will create a unique circle. And even with the same facilitator, each circle will be unique because there may be different participants, and it's actually unique every time we gather. So you'll find your own way, and it's really nice to get inspired. It's really great to see how you can do it, what sort of activities you can do, also to learn about what works for you and what wouldn't work for you. So that would be the best way to gain some experience, to simply join already existing facilitated circles. Anna, you started by joining Aarhus Circle and also co-facilitating with us and learning in this way. I would say that the place where the training would be useful would be on how to handle challenges. So, for example, what if a person that is not mentally stable joins your circle? Or what if there is a person that always takes more space than the others? What if there is someone that never takes any space? So I would say that some training would be relevant for practical matters, like the practical matters we talked about, and for challenges. That I would definitely recommend. Also, when the art of facilitation itself, because facilitation is an art. So if you don't have any experience with facilitating any form of groups, I would say that training would be very, very helpful, because it is an art, and being able to feel and listen to your circle, being able to co-create in the moment based on what's happening in the circle, that's really amazing to get some experience with.
I totally agree. I myself didn't go through any training or certification. I basically started to join the Aarhus Circle, and I was learning, as Marta said, on the job. But I didn't even had like an idea that I will become a facilitator. I was just there. Then I was asked to do the co-creation and actually give a bit of an astrological talk during the circle. I think now I'm toying with the idea of creating a women's circle in the company where I work. And here I would love to get a little bit of a training, because it's very different. I know that technically I should feel more comfortable, because I am a corporate facilitator. I actually do facilitation at my work. I facilitate workshops or meetings or whatsoever. But this is a little bit different. So I would actually probably love to hear more. And that's why I'm waiting for Marta's training, because she will create one based on her experience that she is gaining now while having the women circles in the companies. But for the in-person circles, I basically learned by observing, and that's why probably I still feel a tiny bit insecure about the circles, because naturally I have to do it more, I have to observe more, but I think for the beginning it is enough to basically start joining the circles and try to figure out, okay, is this something that I feel I would be able to naturally do? And if not, then you can actually find a bit of a help. I think we will create different offers for facilitators, but I also saw that there are places online where different women from different countries are creating women's circle facilitator trainings or things like this, although this is not a regulated industry. And I think here it's also important to mention that the circles that we are doing, they are not actually profit, focused circles. They are non-profit. We take a fee. We ask participants to pay a fee, but that fee goes directly, in case of Marta's circle, for the rental. And also for some snacks or some candles or some other materials you would normally have in a circle. I have even smaller fee, which is really symbolic, but that's pretty much just to buy things so women can have something to eat, something to drink, and then I can buy the candles and stuff like this. Because it's also important that it's sustainable for you. So if the circle becomes a certain energetical or financial burden, that's not the right place energetically to lead the circle. So it's important that you don't feel like you are draining yourself out of something, be it the resources, the money, the time. So that fee is symbolic, but it kind of helps to just make it sustainable. So that's a non-profit industry, unregulated non-profit industry, I guess.
I think some people do it for profit. I have seen some circles that were quite expensive. However, we do it as a non-profit, as a co-creation, reciprocity experience. One thing that came to my mind in terms of training, depending on what sort of circle you're creating. So, for example, if you are creating a circle for knitting, you're getting together for, I don't know, knitting and crocheting or whatever kind of stitching you need to do. And it's, you know, just easygoing get together of women. It's probably very, very easy and you really don't need to... don't need to think about any form of training. I would say when you are working with consciousness or spirituality, I would say that some spiritual training, especially spiritual or conscious ethics, and being able to take care of the space from consciousness perspective, and not only creating a safe space for everyone in emotional and psychological terms, but actually also in spiritual terms. I would say that having that kind of a background to be able to take care of the space from spiritual or conscious perspective, I would find it very important. I would find it actually that space where it would be vital to have that form of a training. And for me, I took a training in spirituality, in conscious communication, a few years training. And probably that's why it has been so easy and natural for me to create circles, because I feel those principles, those spiritual conscious principles, very deeply grounded in me after a few years of conscious education. So that was just something that came to my mind, that actually when we are talking about opening conscious spaces, some form of conscious ethics, conscious communication, creating sacred space would actually be a very, very good idea. And if you feel intuitively that you're ready for it, that's also fine. that was just something I wanted to add.
Yeah, but that's actually a very good point, Marta, because I personally, what I am the most anxious about, because the next circle that I'm going to facilitate, I'm going solo. I think, Marta, you cannot join me this time, from what I remember. Well, I hope that it will change, but I am prepared to do it alone. And, for example, I will have to prepare myself better to do the for example, an opening invocation. Marta was doing that for me. I will have to think about the meditation part, because Marta also does guided meditations. Will I actually do it myself, or will I, for example, figure out an audio file, or maybe Marta will record one for me? Who knows? So there will be a bit more of preparation. And I will definitely need to figure out how to put it together. So that's a very good point, Marta. But I think we are actually arriving to the 1 hour mark. And that means that the other five most important questions you will hear in the episode number 2. So this episode is, of course, going to be available everywhere on your usual suspects like Spotify and Apple Podcasts or iTunes. I don't even know how it's called these days. But we are going to distribute it everywhere. We are probably also going to upload it to our old podcast, You've Got Five Options, to let our old listeners know that we are back. But that's going to be only one-time thing, and then we will just publish everything under Women's Circle Institute podcast. If you would like to visit, actually, the Women's Circle Institute website, you will be able to see the podcast episodes there as well. And I have a feeling that probably we will create some resources as we go, free resources for women, maybe some sort of blog articles or downloadables. It could be that we will answer all those questions in a written format, so you can just have it on hand and you don't have to listen to the whole hour. So we will figure out, but if you want to stay tuned with this podcast and our work, then either subscribe to this podcast on the your favorite podcasting platform or visit womenscircleinstitute.com. And I think here the safest thing is to subscribe to our newsletter, because we don't have any social media at the moment and we are not quite sure if we are even going to go that way. So there is a chance that yeah, we are just going to have a website and a podcast. Wow, how unusual for this age.
Yeah. Yeah, it is quite unusual. Let's see mm-hmm. where it takes us. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you, Anna. It has been a pleasure. And we will hear you again.
Yes. So stay tuned for the part two of 10 most important questions about Women's Circle. And we hope that you will come back.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.